is sports fans, glad to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show. Monday, May the 11th, 2026. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. Reaction Monday. What you think? What you think of the weekend? What you think of Bobby Cox passing away? Same week Ted Turner passed away. What you think of Clemson losing 2 out of 3 to Florida State now in the final week of the regular season? The Gamecocks getting swept by South Carolina. Oh, again, I guess what about Alabama and Georgia sweeping LSU? What do you think of the Braves taking 2 or 3 out in L.A. from the Dodgers? The lacrosse field being mentioned or being awarded out. South Carolina gets a football commitment. What do you think of the NBA weekend, the NHL weekend? Knicks were just dominant NBA. Of the NASCAR weekend at Watkins Glen, of the PGA Tour up in Charlotte and Myrtle Beach. Busy, busy weekend. A lot to dive into today. So let's jump with and a big weekend coming up this weekend because you have Preakness in the PGA Championship. The producer of this Monday show, as he is every Monday, Mr. Will Clinton. Good morning, friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. It's great to be here. Good to see you.
Yeah. Good weekend?
Had a great weekend, yes.
Tell me about it. What'd you do? Anything big?
Nothing too huge. I had Saturday pretty much off to be able to work on some personal projects around the house.
Nice.
Friday, I mean, busy week, Monday through Friday, I'll be honest with you there. Worked the game yesterday. Not the outcome I was looking for, but... you know, life moves on. How was your weekend?
Phenomenal.
Great Mother's Day?
Yes, phenomenal. So Friday, my family, they go down to my in-laws. So I played golf. Played okay. Saturday morning, got up early and played. And played well. And then drove down to my in-laws. And they've got their big poultry festival down in Batesburg, Leesville. So went and saw the fireworks. They put on I think it is a $10,000 a minute firework show. Is what the big firework shows are talking $10,000 a minute. This is 18 minutes. It's not Disney, but like it's pretty close to one of the best firework shows you'll ever see. So that was good. My daughter for the first time ever saw fireworks.
All that for poultry.
Yeah. Oh, poultry pays for a lot of stuff down there, buddy. Chicken houses everywhere.
Okay.
With that said, and then a great Mother's Day yesterday, celebrating with my wife, and really good for her. My kids were all into it and all that. And I took Drake fishing yesterday, and Drake caught caught a brim. Then, this is at my sister's ponds, a 2-pound bass, a 3-pound bass, and a 4-pound bass. Monsters, he was pulling out of the thing. 3 biggest fish he ever caught. So that was good. We had a great time there, and then came home and got home last night, cleaned up a little bit, got ready for the show. So really, really good weekend. Awesome weather. Went to the baseball game Friday night, saw the Tigers get beat. Listened to baseball all weekend long, traveling down on Saturday, traveling back yesterday, and Tigers look much better on Saturday, obviously. I've got 5 or 6 things from Clemson baseball that I want to dive into today. It's been this way all year long, and nothing's changed about this team. And just some things just drive you crazy about this team. So we'll do that coming up just a little bit. We're going to segment 2.
I want to talk about something that unfortunate that happened. That honestly, I forgot could have still happened. Bobby Cox passing away.
Yeah,
I forgot he was still alive.
One of the all-time greats, top 5 managers in Major League Baseball history, probably. Mm-hmm. We can get into all that just a little bit. All right, so Tigers lose 2 of 3 to Florida State. It started out on Friday night where Florida State jumped out to a 4-0 lead, held on to go 8-4 in this one. In everyone's games. Florida State is better all weekend long. And Moeller just – I mean, the pitch count thing, everybody else's pitch count ramps up. This guy hadn't ramped anything. He's always the same. Don't understand why you get this 2 innings from him. LeGurnett got rocked. It was nice to see Fowler. I thought he pitched well. Simpson pitched well, and Miller pitched okay. And my thing is the offense, once they got down, you weren't going to beat Mendez, who's really good. And mounted some rallies, couldn't get it done. Speaking of rallies, they rallied from 3 down to take a 4-3 win. The bullpen was phenomenal on Saturday. Sharman was okay. Nelson goes four innings and faces the minimum. And did no hits, no walks. And then Simerson comes in and closes things down. And this was just a great, great win for the Tigers. And Purify had a phenomenal game. And nice to see him lead the Tigers to a great 4-3 victory. And then yesterday, more the same, because they got down 4-0 again. So the Tigers on Friday night got down 4-0. On Saturday got down I got them mixed up now. Yes, Saturday got down 3-0. And then Sunday got down again and just couldn't fight their way back. It just wasn't enough. Bottom line, Clemson loses 2 or 3. Aiden Canock just hadn't been what we thought he would be this year. Got thoughts on that, thoughts on playing from behind, thoughts on extra base hits, and just wasn't good, wasn't good. So we talk about all those things, what that meant. Rest of Major League, rest of just a college baseball over the weekend. North Carolina swept Pittsburgh. Georgia Tech sweeps Duke. It was in the ACC. Yeah, the team's trying to host and fight things back. Boston College was out of conference this weekend with New Jersey Tech. Virginia lost 2 out of 3 to California. SEC, Alabama sweeps South Carolina. And high score in 8-3, 9-6, and 7-6. The rest of the SEC, Texas loses 2 out of 3 at Tennessee. Georgia sweeps LSU at home. It was Auburn taking 2 out of 3 at Mississippi State this weekend. So A&M, by the way, lost 2 out of 3 at Ole Miss this weekend. So big weekend across the SEC. Arkansas beat Oklahoma 2 out of 3. Ole Miss and A&M, I think I said A&M, lost 2 out of 3 there. Florida beat Kentucky 2 out of 3 this weekend. So a little ACC-SEC baseball action for you. Major League Baseball, the big story of the weekend, the Braves take 2 or 3 from the Dodgers by a 7-2 final in both of those. So Braves' best record in baseball, and they go out to L.A. and prove it again. So good stuff there. Yesterday, Marlins 5-2 over the Nats. It was the Orioles 2-1 over the A's. The Phillies shut out the Rockies 6-0. Rays beat the Red Sox 4-1. The Angels 6-1 over the Blue Jays. It was the Reds 5-4 over the Astros. Twins beat the Guardians 5-4. Brew Crew walk off against the Yankees 4-3. White Sox double up. Mariners 2-1. Rangers shut out the Cubs 3-0. It was the Giants 7-6 in extra innings walk-offs against the Pirates. So the Braves 7-2 over the Dodgers. The D-backs beat the Mets 5-1. Padres 3-2 over the Cardinals. And the Tigers beat the Royals 6-3. I take it the Braves had the best record. I'll make sure I got it right by saying this. Yes. Yeah, still the best record in baseball. And a 9-game lead as no one's over 500. Matter of fact, the Phillies and Marlins and Nationals all 19-22. Second place in that division. So big deal there. NHL from the weekend. You saw on Saturday the Hurricanes close out the series with the Flyers, sweep the Flyers. The Hurricanes are 8-0 in the playoffs. The Wild beat the Avalanche 5-1. That cut into the 2-0 lead. There's that series is 2-1 now. Yesterday, Canadiens beat the Sabres 6-2 to take a 2-1 lead in that series. And the Ducks beat the Golden Knights 4-3 to knot it up at 2 games apiece. The story of the NBA from the weekend was the Saturday games. Cavs beat the Pistons 116-106 to take a 2-1 lead. I'm sorry, Pistons were up 2-0, and that's 2-1 now, still Pistons. And the Thunder take a 3-0 lead against the Lakers, 131-108. Yesterday, big news, Nets crushed the Sixers in Philadelphia, 144-114. The Knicks are on fire. They sweep into the Eastern Conference Finals. Ejected, and the Spurs lose the T-Wolves, 114-109. That series tied at 2. So tonight you have Pistons and Cavs. Pistons 2-1 lead back in Cleveland again. 8 o'clock NBC and Peacock on Prime Video tonight. Lakers trying to stave off elimination at 10:30 against the Thunder. And NHL for tonight you have Avalanche and Wild The Wild trying to knot things up in Minnesota at 2 in game 4 of that one. Truist Championships, PGA Tour, Christopher Rattan, who is a Norwegian, young Norwegian player, shoots 15 under par. He ends up winning by 2 over Ricky Fowler. That would have been a story. And also beat Nicholas Hoegaard and Alex Fitzpatrick. Now the PGA Tour heads to the PGA Championship in Aronimink up in Philadelphia. And Brent Snedeker won down at Myrtle Beach this weekend on the other side of the tour. 18 under par, shot 66 yesterday, I should say, to beat Mark Hubbard. Nice win for Brent Snedeker. Guy almost lost his card there. Clemson softball is going to a regional, not a very long trip for them. They head down to Athens. Clemson at 32-20, finished at 13-11 regular season. They go down to Athens. They'll face Charleston in the first round, and looks like them and Georgia paired up. Hopefully, get to see a lot of dogs and tigers on the softball field there. Women's NCAA regionals begin here in a couple of hours, and golf and the Lady Tigers are down in Tallahassee. And now South Carolina did not make the field, so and Clemson down in Tallahassee for that one. So that should be a good one as well. So besides that, really nothing going on in sports. But oh, Gamecocks get a commitment from a 3-star offensive lineman out of Alabama named Jackson Elston. So we can tell you a little bit about him later in the show as well. Take a bunch of phone calls, a bunch of texts. Going to be a great Reaction Monday show. What do you think of the weekend? Story of the weekend. I think national story of the weekend, Braves over the Dodgers and the Knicks being as dominant as they were. And then locally, Clemson, South Carolina's not very good at baseball again. So, and Georgia very good in baseball. So we can talk about all those things coming up for sure. My great friends at Trail, TREHEL.com, 800-319-7006. Trail Tailored Homes, they're building homes now. And not just building homes, they're also doing renovation. High-end home building, high-end home renovation in the mountain regions, in the lake regions, in right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Let them come in and let Matt and his team do what the folks on the commercial side have been doing now for 40 years. And that's, let's talk about collaborative effort. Let's talk about the better building experience. Let's talk about why that process works, how they're there to save you money, how they're there to communicate with you, how they're there to build a relationship with you as well, and doing it from a home building at the high-end level and doing it from a home renovation at the high-end level. It's my great friends at Trail, TREHEL.com, 800-319-7006. We'll take our first break. We'll come back. Bobby Cox is the subject of segment 2 with Will Clinton when you come back right after this.
If you haven't noticed, the NBA playoffs are in full swing, and that means that every single day there is plenty to do on Underdog. It's the best place to get in on all the action. I talk about Underdog all the
air online. It's BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Segment 2 with Mr. Will Clinton.
Unfortunately, Bobby Cox passing away over the weekend. We're going to remember him a lot around here, as especially me being a Braves fan growing up.
Yeah.
Something that's never going to be broken. Number one all time total ejections.
Yeah, he didn't mind mixing it up.
162.
Yeah. He was right most of the time, too, through that, by the way.
Can't take that away from him.
Remind me to tell you an ejection story or an umpire story off the air. Can't say it on the air, but I'll tell you one coming up.
Okay. Yeah. He's also the only manager to ever. He's the only person, not even manager, but only person to ever be ejected from two different World Series games.
How about that?
1992 and 1996. But
I would say this. The ejection stuff is funny, and he's, you know, something that you wouldn't want to hold the record for and all that. But it sent that there's a purpose behind it. It wasn't just that, you know, you get thrown out of the game or argue the call. It was that he always had his players' backs. And mm-hmm. and you go back and watch now. Look at what Smoltz said, what Glavin said, what Maddox said, what Chipper Jones said, what Freddie Freeman said. Like, you go back and look at what the guys that played for him, and they looked at him like a father figure. And, you know, you see people say, like, other than my father, this man had the biggest influence. Leo Mazzoni this weekend. You know, all these guys that play with him and coach with him, everybody – and I didn't realize this. Everybody's bragging. I didn't realize this. He wore metal spikes every day.
Really?
Yep, because he said that's what big leaguers do. You know, a lot of guys are wearing the softer tennis shoes, you know, softer soles type stuff, taking these in the body. Not Bobby Cox. Big leaguers wear metal spikes. He's a big leaguer. meant a lot to him to do that, you know? He was in full uniform. But, man, what a what an absolute amazing career.
One of Jeff Franker's quotes about Bobby Cox being ejected. Well, they were actually both ejected. This was back in this quote's from 2006. Jeff Franker was ejected from a game. Bobby Cox argued, got ejected immediately after. He went to Bobby Cox and said, "What do I do?" And Cox said, "Go have a couple beers, get in the cold tub or something, just relax. You'll probably have to write a $500 check. Or you can do what I'm about to do and write a $10,000 check." And then Bobby Cox went back to argue after being ejected.
I like it, man. I like it. He's a double up. He'll get his money's worth.
Yes, but that goes back into standing up for his guys, you know? Like, hey, you relax. I got this. This is on me.
Yeah.
Bobby Cox, number four all-time in wins as a manager. Yeah. He'll be there for a long time. Terry Francona is the closest to his mark of 2,504 wins. Terry Francona, 2,054. Long way to go. Long way to go. Another six or seven really good seasons of old Terry Francona if he was going to push Bobby Cox out of the number four slot there. The one thing that I'll remember him for is really the bringing a world championship to Atlanta all the way back in the 1995 season. Putting together one of the best pitching rosters that we'll ever see in our lifetimes, to me at least. Smoltz, Glavin, and Greg Maddux, just absolutely insane, going all in together. But also from 1995 all the way to 2005, the Braves won the NL East every single year.
That won't happen again. Year. I don't feel like. I think that might be the one that won't ever be broken.
Yeah,
won that division 14 straight years.
Just mind-blowingly bonkers.
You know, in a transactional world now, the Braves were different back then, too, because the Braves did very well in free agency. They didn't spend a ton in free agency, but when they did very well. Maddux, you know, I don't know if that's a trade for free agency. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, like, people wanted to come play for Bobby Cox. You know, you sit down and meet with the current players, and they're like, hey, what's it like around here? Like, it was an unbelievable clubhouse. And the guy always had your back and was always there. You know, you knew he was in your foxhole throughout all that. And I think that's part of the reason why they go through this 14-year unbelievable run of winning the National League East. National League West, part of that, too. By the way, that wasn't just National League East titles. But the first part of that's when they won the West. The Braves used to be in the West.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and beating the Dodgers out there in the early parts of all that. But then they moved to the National League East.
1993.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He's got to be one of the few managers to win multiple titles with the same team in different divisions because they moved over.
He also won the AL East with Toronto during that four-season stretch where he managed in America's Hat of Canada.
And did a great job there. Lost in the ALCS to the Kansas City there. But people tend to forget this, too. He won a World Series title as a coach with Billy Martin in the 1977 New York Yankees.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. He was one of their coaches on that staff.
Of course you would know that little New York Yankees history there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think of Bobby Cox as a – I mean, Yankees are part of his deal. He did a phenomenal job there as a coach and spent some nice times there with the Yankees. He was there with the Yankees, see, I'm right by saying this, as a coach with the he played with the Yankees a couple of years. So it was the only team he played with the Major League Baseball was with the Yankees. And was there with the coach with the Yankees from bear with me a second here. He started in the farm system in 71 and then came over as their first base coach in 77 before he got the Braves job in 78. Certainly in 1 year of the Yankees as a coach, but was in their organization as a player and coach from 68 to 77. So he's one of us, and he's one of y'all. So Braves and Yankees.
Got a great text from 0228 on the Adams Co. Roofing text line. Ted Turner also did pass away last week. And he says, I feel like the celebration of life should be held on TBS at 7:05, just after the Andy Griffith Show at 6:35.
Yeah, and if there's a rain delay, we'll put that monkey thing on, or the banana splits or something like that. Yeah, that was a time, man. That was a time. And that's what everybody grew up watching and seeing it. And, man, what – you know, he was a general manager first.
Bob Cox.
Yeah, and decided, you know what, I could do this better than this guy's doing it, so I'm going to go down there and take care of it.
Generally, general manager, that's a cushier job.
Responsible for drafting Glavine and Avery and Smoltz and Ronnie Gant and David Justice and Chipper Jones. Man. And, and then handed over to Schuerholz after that when he moved on the field. But brought the world championship to the Braves. And, well, what a career, man.
Yeah. Sad to see him go, but he had a very – very full life.
Think about this. How many professional athletes, all right, the millions of people who played professional athletics, or hundreds of thousands who played professional athletics in the United States, and how many of them have this great bond with their coach or their manager? Not just that, but like, somebody passes, we always say nice things about him at first. We'll continue to say nice things about him, but I mean, how about the superstars of the game coming out? And that's Maddox and Smoltz and Glavine and Avery and Justice and Mazzoni and, you know, all those guys, man. Chipper Jones, all those guys that had, you know, come out before the guy passed. By the way, there's these stories and these reels you see on about just Bobby Cox stories, and to a man, all of them are like, this guy was like my dad. This guy was a father figure to me. You'll hear people say, outside of my grandfather, I'm the father. Outside of my father, outside whatever. This guy's the biggest influence I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
So, man, what a life. If you can have – it'd be one thing to have a couple of guys say it. Another thing to have these Hall of Famers. Glavine, Smoltz, Maddox, and Chipper Jones. Four Hall of Famers that talk about him the way they talk about him. You just don't see it.
That says a lot. Yes.
And it wasn't, I mean, the longevity of it, you know? Got coached for 4,500 games.
It's insane. You never see that anymore. Yeah. Even, I mean, look around the league now. Obviously, you got Terry Francona still coaching, but you just do not see that longevity, especially with the same team, for that amount of time, season after season.
One of the coolest things I heard about him was the cleat story, the metal spike story. And that it's not as simple as just the metal spike. It's the fact that he thought it was like the ultimate to be in the big leagues.
Yeah.
He didn't, as a player, he only played in the majors 2 years. He was not a great player. Only played a couple of seasons and wasn't very good, you know? So when he made it as a manager, he had a bigger appreciation for it. And so the way that you came to the ballpark and it's like what you dressed up, but to him, being as a manager, he was still a big leaguer. But he treated it with the respect. And like that was a huge deal to him. You sign your autographs, you know, you get there early, you do your work, you whatever, you know, like that was the deal to him. He was a big leaguer.
He set the standard.
He did. Yeah. But like, sounds crazy to say, but I think that, like a lot of guys, you know, a lot of managers weren't great players. And very few great players turn out to be great managers. But I think it's the guys that strive so long and so hard to make it that couldn't really be great players that turn into great managers because their appreciation of the game and understanding the game, they had to think about the game and, you know, wasn't just to come naturally to them. And I think he's a great example of that. And like I said, just he changed, him and Ted Turner both. They changed the city of Atlanta. It changed the way you felt about the Atlanta Braves. And just, man, what a man. Huh?
Especially in the 90s, what the Braves meant to Atlanta. You really couldn't separate those two out of there. And you know, TBS and Ted Turner, even with CNN, just bringing media to Atlanta was a huge thing as well. But my final comment, I could not remember when this was from, but after he had retired, I want to say maybe it was 2021, but Bobby Cox came out and threw the opening pitch for some game.
Yeah.
And then went and yelled at an umpire and got ejected.
Ah!
Obviously, it was a skit, but
yeah.
I just thought it was very, very on the nose.
Do you realize this? Do you realize that the Atlanta Braves had never won a postseason game until Bobby Cox?
Even with Hank Aaron?
Well, they only made, as Atlanta right now, the Milwaukee Braves won a World Series. And the Boston Braves won a World Series. But they didn't move to Atlanta until 66 is when they moved to Atlanta. And they only made the playoffs twice, and they got swept in both playoff series.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. So when he took them to the World Series in 91, which they lost in Game 7 to the Twins, that's the first year that the Atlanta Braves had ever won a playoff game. And over that, we had the strike season. But all of the full seasons, that was the first of 14 postseasons in a row in which they won a playoff game in every year but one. So in 13 of the 14 seasons, they won a playoff game. And before that, no manager had ever won a playoff game for the Atlanta Braves.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Atlanta Braves. Hank Aaron was on the Atlanta Braves from 1966 to 1974.
Right.
They made the postseason once in 1969. Only played in three games and lost all three.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it didn't take Bobby Cox long, because he took over in 90. He took over halfway through the season for Russ Nixon. And then his first full year, they went to the World Series with the Braves. So he didn't have any, like, build-up, man. Like, it was, yeah, it was on. What a man. Short break. We'll come back for the first time today. We'll open up phone lines or text lines. I want to hear from you what you think of the weekend. Any of your thoughts that happened in any of those great sports weekend, let's love to hear from you. 654-ROAR phone line. Adams Curve for text line 654-ROAR as well. Much more after this.
Mark your calendars for the 17th Dabo Sweeney Ladies Clinic, presented by...
Got a ton of guys on hold. I promise I'll get everybody in this segment before the top of the hour. Rogers and Anderson. Roger, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Mickey. Doing well.
Good.
Well, rest in peace, Ted Turner. You said something a while ago. You said something about 7:05 was the magic time.
Yeah.
Actually, I have to... Small correction. It'd be 6:05.
6:05.
Because that's wrestling.
Okay.
And there were three cornerstones of WTBS. It was wrestling, the Braves, and all those, especially Andy Griffith, all those syndicated reruns from the shows that he would put on.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. I've been reading a lot about him the last few days. I've forgotten. I would say, Mickey, just based on what I read, that man made more people household names in terms of ball players, wrestlers, entertainers, people like Larry King, who he put on CNN. He was the staple. He was the anchor of that evening network. I would say he made more people household names than any man ever, alive, ever.
Yeah, you think about it.
You're talking about all those ball players, all those wrestlers who would never have gotten the exposure without being on that station.
Yeah. You think about what the innovative part of it. Hey, this sounds crazy, but like, he didn't like slanted news. So when he sold, you know, CNN, it went one way. And like, he wanted to buy it back. He tried to get CNN back to some sort of
sanity.
Yeah. Yeah. The 705 thing or 605 thing, whatever it was, it was, that's brilliant, because remember this, means the rest of the program 24 hours a day was. So that meant that if you wanted to watch something there, you'd wait, you know, you'd miss the first couple of minutes. Then at 705, you turn it over. And then you watch this movie. Well, that movie didn't end until 10:05. And so now I've already missed 5 minutes of where the next movie is on the next station. So I got to stay with this one. I've already missed the opening, you know, monologue or whatever show it was. So if you got on that deal, you couldn't get off of it on that time frame.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Just brilliant.
Well, he launches a satellite in the early 70s. And WTBS really doesn't become, I'm sure somebody will correct me because I've been reading so much, but he didn't own the WCW wrestling until the late 80s when he took over and completely bought Jim Crockett out, because Jim Crockett was a terrible businessman. I don't care what anybody says. He just did. He got that WCW wrestling organization for pennies on the dollar in 1989. So that's when he actually owned wrestling. Before that, he was just providing his network as the access point for people to watch Georgia Championship Wrestling in the 70s, which was a fantastic and better than Mid-Atlantic. I don't care what anybody says. Just go look at the talent that came through Georgia in the late 70s and early 80s. But then he just gave them the network to provide people the access to watch it. He actually took over the wrestling organization in 89 when he went head-to-head with Vince McMahon, because Ted was super competitive, obviously, and so was Vince McMahon. And I remember Vince McMahon one time, after he bought it, he called him, and Ted Turner said, "Vince, I'm in the wrestling business."
How about this? Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah.
Now, the people forget about the America's Cup.
Yeah, Captain Courageous.
Right. Right.
1977.
Brought it back.
And he owned the Atlanta Hawks.
Yes. Yeah, man. What a guy. What a life.
Basically, Mickey, he owned Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, what a life.
I mean, look what Atlanta was in 1972, early 70s, and look what they were 20 years later.
Yep.
That's Ted Turner.
No doubt.
It ain't the governor. It's not the city council. That's Ted Turner that made Atlanta a media hub.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Unbelievable.
He brought the Olympics basically to Atlanta in 96. He had a big hand in it. He did the Goodwill Games in 86. The exposure that he provided for these athletes and these wrestlers and entertainers, I'm just saying, I don't know of another guy who made more people household names that would have never been a household name.
It is a great point. Good stuff. Roger, let me run, man. I appreciate the phone call. Great stuff.
Thank you, man.
Ted Turner, very good points. Single game season, Chad in Columbia. How you doing? Early for you today. Early for you and Roger today.
Yeah, I got a training. Feel bad for him, Mick. My wife made me cook collards to take over to my in-laws for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So I'm taking my work car. And you know how collards, when you cook them, they stink up your house.
Oh, yeah. Right? Your car stinks
so
right
Tracy's
now.
Tracy's like, hey, you need to, we're going to take your car, like my work car, so I don't want to, she's got a new car smell in hers, right?
Right.
Mick, she makes a turn, she's driving it, she makes a turn, going about 40.
No.
The whole pot completely.
No! Smelled.
I mean, Mick, this is, I used a ton of vinegar, you know, like, dude, my car's going to be stinking, smelling like college at least for the next 3.5 years.
Yeah, yeah, you might as well go.
I mean, my trainee's going to be in hell in a little bit. Hey, but Mick, two things. Number one, Roger's depth of sports knowledge is honestly impressive.
Yeah.
Like a week or two ago, he called and was talking about the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like just randomly, like, you know, they won game 3 in 76 against so and so. I mean, and then now he's talking Georgia wrestling. But, anyways, Mick, a couple things. If you look at Clemson's athletic calendar year, okay. The five players that we were the most excited about returning and probably the highest paid rev share guys in each sport have just been colossal disappointments, right? Cade Klubnik, Woods, Parker in football. We're all probably got the lion's share, the rev share from the athletic department, right? Returning, going to be productive, All-American type candidates, and we're all three awful. I'd probably say Dylan Hunter was that guy in basketball. You know, unbelievably failed expectations. And Aiden Knott. And so is this just a Clemson thing? Did this happen across, you know, cause last year was the first year where rev share really, like, you know, took off, right?
Yeah.
Did this happen across other programs? Did it just happen to us? Because, I mean, if any of those guys have the years that we expected, we all have more wins. I mean, Canuck single-handedly is getting us beat. I mean, man, we can't out-pitch. Like, he was our ace, probably an All-American type candidate.
Yeah.
And we can't out-duel somebody Sunday guy now.
He was 14 you know, like, and 2 over the first two seasons. And this year, in the games he started, the Tigers are 5-7. And two of those are Army and Bryant.
And, Mick, and he doesn't get out of, like, the third or fourth inning. And, I mean, his pitch count is, like, outrageous always through, like, two or three. And then, like, little stuff. Like, it would be, like, 0-2, and he tries to strike everybody out. And then, you know, wild pitch because the runner's on first gets him in a scoring position, and he gives up a hit. Like, just little stuff like that that's, like, I don't know, man.
I agree 100%. Know. I mean, know what? He come in at 14-2, and this year he's 2-6 with a 5.27 ERA. And you look at some of the numbers. I mean, Virginia Tech roughed him up for 6 runs last night. Or yesterday, Florida State with 4. And he just doesn't make it past. He's not – the most innings he's pitched the entire year is 6 against North Carolina in a really good win on Friday night. But that's – when you start out – he was your Friday guy. You always start out 0-1. Then you put him on Sunday, think you could – that didn't work for you yesterday at least. It's like – it's just bad. And then, you know – on Friday night, when you don't get out of the fourth, you waste your bullpen so much. So you end up trying to take it easy on him. I got a couple stats for Clemson baseball, but I've got 4 big things. I'll tell you about them now, and we'll get more into them the next hour. Number one is Canuck.
All right,
buddy. Thanks, man. Number one is Canuck.
Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Just been awful. And I'm sorry. These are good kids and blah, blah. But when you're preseason All-American – goes 2-6 with a 5.27 ERA, and the two wins. Well, he didn't get the win against Army because they didn't get the win there. But they only won 5 games he's pitching all year, and it was Army and Bryant were 2 of those. Number two is they continue to play from behind. We'll get to this next segment, but they're behind 4-0 on Friday night. They're behind 3-0 on Saturday and win, and they're behind 4-0 on Sunday. Like, you can't keep getting behind. Part of that is the starting pitching. This weekend, the starting pitching, 14 innings, 9 hits. I'm sorry. 8 innings, 18 hits, 8 runs. Whereas the bullpen guys, other than LeGurnick, who got racked, the bullpen guys, 14 innings, 1 earned run. So it's your starting pitch this weekend. And the last part of it is that in the Tigers had 27, 27 is 54, and they only had 24 outs. In the 78 outs this weekend, Clemson had 4 extra base hits, 2 doubles, a triple, and a homer. It's like, man, you can't have – and Purify had 3 of the 4 extra base hits. Lichtenberger had a double on Friday night. And that's the only other Clemson player who had an extra base hit this weekend. You can't have. I mean, one guy had 3 extra base hits. No, the rest of the team had 1 extra base hit, and it was a double the entire weekend? Like, you just can't have that.
Yep. And this is a guy who we've been without for majority of the season. Think about that.
Let me get Seminole Ted before the top of the hour. Seminole Ted, I got a couple of minutes, man. How you doing?
Hey, doing good, Mick. First of all, hats off to the Noles for
exercising
a few demons from Doug Kingsmore. That's a hard place for us to win. It seems like no lead is safe, and you go to the top or bottom of the ninth on Friday, and I was sweating bullets, man. So, you know, it's a good win. I'll take it. Next up, I want to talk about the Braves and the piece of work they did on the Dodgers. I mean, this team does not scare me. First of the season, everybody's talking about, are the Dodgers going to lose a series? Hey, they're human.
Yeah.
They got the highest payroll, and they're human. They're beatable. This team is playing great right now in Atlanta. Bobby Cox, man, what an icon. And to lose Ted Turner and Bobby Cox in the same week. I saw a picture on Twitter of Hank Aaron welcoming them, both of them into the pearly white gates.
How about that?
And it was a really, really fitting picture, but that's all I got, Mitch. I'll take your comments off the air. Y'all have a good one.
Let me tell you the scary part. Appreciate the phone call. Let me tell you the scary part for Major League Baseball. Strider looked good. I mean, this pitching staff has been amazing. And then you throw out there. Strider went six innings and one hit and two walks and no runs against that Dodger lineup. Against Otani and Freeman and Smith and Tucker. And against that lineup, he no runs, one hit. If you the rest of Major League Baseball does not need that. Because, man, what a boost that's going to be if that continues. And the other part of it is, Elder has been as good as anybody in baseball.
Yeah. Both of those things, not on my bingo card. Did not see Strider coming back and being this impressive.
Elder didn't give a run as 5 2/3, only one hit as well. Elder's ERA is down to 1.81 right now. He's 4-1. And the Braves win 7-2 in both games, and just what a weekend for Atlanta. And now you come home, a day off today, and now you come home and you got the Cubs. So, and the Cubs are you know, they're leading their division. Matter of fact, the Cubs have a, see if I'm saying this, yeah, the Cubs have a better record than the Dodgers now. Dodgers are tied for the lead in their division. So it should be another good series in Atlanta, three games. But what a weekend for the Braves. You don't want Strider doing that if you're MLB. Hour number two, and you come back right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson.